As a 15-year-old girl in 1927, Lois Sechrist promised God she'd go overseas as a missionary, perhaps to Africa or India, helping the needy. But Lois never made that trip of mercy. At 23, she married Galen Prater, a handsome farmhand who unfortunately became a heavy drinker. Many years later, Galen did become a Christian and testify about the peace of Jesus to his drinking buddies, but by then he was almost 80 and nearing death. And when he died, January 9th, 1988, Lois's childhood desire of becoming a missionary returned. At first, she resisted. At age 76, she felt her opportunity to serve overseas as a missionary had simply slipped away. I said, "Lord, I'm too old to go now. I can't do this," Lois admitted. But this great-grandmother was determined to fulfill her unforgotten promise. So Lois, pricked by the memory of ignoring God's calling as a teenager, would not refuse a second chance to become a missionary. So at 87, Lois Prater became the unlikely builder of an orphanage in the Philippines, a lifeline to 35 children whose lives had been rescued from neglect, begging in the streets, and parental abuse. Eventually, the 35 orphans lived in the two-story, 2,000-square-foot white stucco home and called Lois Lola, which means grandmother in their native language. Lois's children, as she called them, ranged in age from 8 months to 10 years. Each of their stories was heartbreaking. Lois built the orphanage without taking a loan, relying instead on individual financial support from across the United States. And because of her age, she was not supported by any church denomination and depended solely on private donations. And when asked if that made her nervous, she said confidently, "I serve a mighty God. He's in control. I feel I'm not talented enough to do any of this, but God enables me. My responsibility is to do what I can." A Christian vocation or calling can take many forms. As I said to the children, every Christian has been called by God to the faith, and every Christian has a calling to serve God in this world in some way. We all are, without exception. And God calls us all in a variety of ways to be ministers of his kingdom. The Apostle Paul knew about such calling. He said that some are preachers and pastors, some are prophets, some are healers, some are teachers, some ministers to the needs of others, and on the list went. And all of it is equally important and worthy in the eyes of God. But how do we discover our calling? How do we know what God is calling us, leading us to be and do in service to his will? What is it like to hear the voice of God, particularly if you're not really sure you've ever heard it before? And what might prevent us from hearing God's call? Well, our two scripture lessons this morning serve to help us see how God does call his people to serve him. Both of them introduce us to individuals who have received callings from God, and both who bear witness to what such a calling is like. In John's gospel, we learned of two of John the Baptist's disciples who were walking together one day, and John the Baptist spotted Jesus and told his disciples that there stood the Lamb of God. And immediately the two began to follow Jesus. One, we are told, was Andrew, who went and found his brother Simon and told him that they had discovered the Messiah. It was as simple as that. Jesus did not have to preach to them or persuade them in any way. They just asked him where he was going, and he invited them to come and see. In this story, there is no great personal anguish or doubt about the fact that it was the Christ, the Son of God, who was calling them to follow him. It was clear to them. They had been pointed in the right direction by John the Baptist, and now they were prepared to answer Christ's call. It might be just that simple for some of us. We're just walking along in life, and suddenly it hits us that there's Christ in our midst, and it becomes obvious to us how we should respond to his presence. We hear and understand his call, and following in his footsteps comes easily. But I wonder if most of us don't relate better to the young boy Samuel in our Old Testament lesson. We're told that Samuel was a temple worker responsible to the temple prophet Eli during a time in Israel's history when God's voice was not heard very much. Although Samuel was in the temple day and night, he really didn't know who God was or what a relationship to God might mean for his life. His master, Eli, was growing old and blind and himself no longer able to hear the presence of God. In addition, Eli's own sons, who were also priests in the temple, were abusing their status and making a mockery of God's law. And scripture tells us that early one morning, while young Samuel was sleeping, he heard a voice calling his name, and thinking it to be the voice of his master Eli, he ran to see what the old man needed. But Eli tells Samuel that he had not called to him and he should just go back to bed. And twice more this event takes place until finally Eli realizes that what Samuel hears calling him is nothing less than the voice of God. And so he tells Samuel what to say the next time he hears the voice and instructs him to go back to bed. Well, there we are, you see. So often, we just don't recognize the voice of God when God calls. Sometimes we don't recognize it because we are otherwise distracted. In Marjorie Kellogg's Tell Me That You Love Me, Junie Moon, Junie declares to Arthur, "The trouble, Arthur, with you is that you don't listen to me, and when you do, you don't hear. And when you do hear, you hear wrong. And even when you hear right, you change it so fast that it's never the same." I don't think any wife has ever experienced that. We just put God on hold. There are too many other things we have to take care of first. The demands of work, the little time there might be to spend with family, the doctor's appointment, Boy Scouts, Little League, ballet practice, all must be coordinated and fulfilled. We place God's calling in competition with many other voices. We might have an hour or two on Sunday morning to take God's call, but no more than that. There just isn't any more time. And for that reason, God better not call me to do very much. Other times we don't perceive God's call because it often comes when we least expect it. God's call to us cannot be scripted in a worship service or a Sunday school class on Sunday morning. It may come to us while driving down a highway, or while shopping in the grocery store, or like Samuel, in the early morning hours of a fitful night's sleep. And it may not sound like what we might imagine the voice of God to sound like. I wonder how many of you remember the episode of All in the Family, when Archie had locked himself in the basement while the rest of the family had gone away for the weekend. And after the first 24 hours, Archie was beside himself with worry that he might not survive this ordeal. So finally he asked God to save him. He says, "Lord, if you'll just get me out of this basement, I'll go to church every Sunday and do whatever you want. Do you hear me? Will you answer me now?" And just then, a neighbor lady stops by and to see the surprised look on Archie's face when he hears a female voice calling back, "Archie, I hear you and I'm coming to get you." Could it be the voice of God calling to you from the street corner, begging for a handout? Could it be the voice of God calling to you through a friend who has lost direction in life? Where else and in what ways might you least expect to hear the voice of God? Because that is where you might just find it. And still other times, we don't give ear to God's calling because we don't like what we hear. Many times we experience two very uncomfortable and uncontrollable characteristics of God's calling. First, God often calls us to do the very thing we have said we would never be caught dead doing. And second, God often calls us to do the very thing other people are better at doing than we are. The boy Samuel was called to be a prophet. Generally speaking, no one likes prophets. They always seem to bear bad news, and they are frequently ridiculed and dismissed as quacks. What they say is usually contrary to popular belief, and so no one ever comprehends the truth which they speak. And yet, if there was ever a time when a prophetic word was needed, is that time not now? What if God called upon you to be that prophet? Could you hear that call and answer it? Or might such a call frighten you into silence? There are those times when we just don't want to hear God's call. Just ask Moses or Jeremiah or a whole host of other folks in the Bible called by God. How do we discover our calling? Well, first, we tune in to God's presence in our lives and not allow for any distractions. We strive first and foremost to put our relationship to God first in our lives. We work to nurture our faith through study and prayer and service. Second, we practice listening for God's voice in odd times and places and in ways that might otherwise surprise us. We search out God's voice in very ordinary and perhaps even unholy places. We strive to remain open to hearing God's call at those very times we have more experience in shutting God out. Third, we struggle daily to allow God to be Lord of our conscience, guiding us in the directions that we might not choose to go if left up to us. We need to expect that God will call upon us to serve Him in ways that may, from time to time, make us feel uncomfortable. But most of all, we must put what we perceive might be a calling from God to the test. It is only when we exert some effort to verify our calling from God that we can discover if the call is real or not. In other words, answering a call from God is always risky business. We can never be totally sure in and of ourselves about what God has called us to be and do. We simply and yet profoundly have to say, along with young Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. And trust that God will point us in the right direction. Edwin Markham, the American poet born in Oregon in 1852, won recognition with his poem, The Man with the Hoe. Markham said his poem came after seeing Jean-François Millet's painting of The Man with the Hoe in San Francisco. And he couldn't get the striking painting out of his mind. For weeks, he turned it over and over in his mind, visualizing every aspect of the painting as it had burned its image upon his brain. And then he put his inspiration down on paper. He said, "It was handed down to me from above. I merely lent my soul and my hand to some spiritual power over and beyond me. I felt as if some vast hand was reaching over my shoulder and guiding my fingers as I wrote. I gave myself over to that hand, that inspiration, or whatever you wish to call it, and the poem came." Open yourself to God's calling voice in your life and seek to answer that call. Every call from God is personal. As God sought out and persistently called Samuel, so God is calling you even now. Listen for it. Be attentive. And you will hear. Let us pray. Enlarge our horizons, O Lord, that we may see our spiritual possibilities. Help us to commit ourselves to you in full and glad surrender, and lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Amen.